Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, we got Baldy on the board. We got the roasters out there. My favorite day of the week, Monday. And Baldy probably is laughing right now. Monday sets the tone for the entire week. You have a great Monday. It's smooth sailing the rest of the way. And we're talking about the NFL draft, recapping it all with Brian Baldinger here on the roast. Shout out to YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. And you can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages as we have added the QR code on both pages, the Xfinity Mobile text line. And shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. We got your calls coming up. Oreo Cookie and Will and Marin, 888-957-9570. Ask Baldy anything about the draft. But first, Shasky, before you jump in.
Yes.
Poolside premonitions with Brian Baldy. I think it needs to be a thing. I mean, they're bringing up poolside early in the morning at their deep swim. He wasn't in the bay. He wasn't off the coast of Florida or anything like that. Key West. He was in the pool talking about, you know what? I think Atlanta may go quarterback in this draft. I'm like, what? Poolside premonitions with Brian Baldy.
Before you get in there on that one, Baldy, I had Penix as my number two quarterback. Me.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. Yes. I saw him at Allegiant Stadium. I never understood the Bo Nix thing. I thought he didn't see the field well, didn't see a lot of NFL throws. I thought Penix was extremely undervalued. I mean, he went eighth, so it's not like he went in the fourth round. But I don't know. I liked him more than everyone else did.
Yeah, look, after Caleb, he was my second favorite quarterback.
Oh.
I watched so much film on him, but I got to know the kid, had him on my podcast, met him at the Super Bowl, kind of followed him. And then, look, I used to work for the Falcons. I announced their preseason games. I was there when Mike Smith and Matt Ryan came together. Mm-hmm. I've been in the room with Arthur Blank talking about coaches. And so I just know Arthur. Like, I know the greatest success he's ever had since he owned the Falcons was when Matt Ryan and Mike Smith got together, and they had a great 10-year run or so, Super Bowl, Kyle, the whole thing. And so as much as they wanted Kirk Cousins because they needed a quarterback, I think once they saw Penix throw and they got to meet him and they had a private workout, they were blown away. And they're like, we got to figure out a way to make this work. The talent's too good. And I always said this, Joe. I said, if you put J.J. McCarthy in Washington's offense, would they be 14-0 and play Michigan for the national championship? I didn't think so. I didn't think if you put Drake May in that offense. This offense was trying to rip your carotid artery out every single Saturday. And I just loved the way that he threw the deep ball. I loved the way he tested. He's an elite athlete. And he's very, very smart. He elevated Indiana when he was there to the seventh-ranked team in the country.
It's true. Yep.
Beat Michigan. Took Ohio State to the brink. Went to Washington. A moribund program. 4-8. Nobody's talking about the Huskies. He's convincing Rome Odunze and Jalen Polk and Jalen McMillan, stay. Stay. I know this coach. Like, don't leave. Don't get in the transfer. Got them all to stay. Went to work.
Went to work.
All those kids got drafted.
Yep, went to work there. So he doesn't go number two overall. Jaden Daniels goes number two overall in Washington. You get Drake May, who I'm not the biggest fan of out of North Carolina. It feels like a Sam Howell all over again. I don't know. I don't want to rip the young man, but I think the situation is a little rough for him. Then you get Penix, and Bo Nix, of course, goes 12. McCarthy goes 10. Why do you think Jaden Daniels went so high? Was it because of the Heisman? Because of the receivers at LSU? Because nobody, I'm seeing a lot of mixed grades with Jaden Daniels at quarterback. A lot of people giving Washington C's or whatnot. What is the book on Jaden Daniels? What is he going to be like in the pros? What's your pro scouting report here, Baldy, on Jaden Daniels?
Well, I mean, look, yeah, he's a better thrower than Lamar coming out. I mean, he ran like Lamar in college. Ran all the way to the Heisman like Lamar did. He's not built like Lamar. Lamar's got a neck like a middle linebacker does. You know, he's not built like that. Right. His frame is not going to hold up. Running the ball, like if you watch the game against Alabama or Florida, like in the way they took hits in those games, he's not going to hold up. If Fred Warner hits him, he's going to break him. So I'm worried about him running. Now, Cliff Kingsbury, I think, is a very talented coordinator. Like he did a lot of good things with Kyler, obviously with Mahomes. Going back to Johnny Manziel, he's going to build an offense around his quarterback. So, and I think they drafted well. I think they got a good general manager in there right now. I feel like he's got a chance to elevate. They've got a good receiving core right now. If the offensive line comes together, they've added a lot of new pieces that had to get better than it was a year ago. Like, I think he's got a chance for success. I think Washington's going to be an improved team.
Yeah, I mean, they've only one way to go, and that's up. You know what I mean? Baldy, back to the Niners before we start hitting the lines here. You can ask Baldy anything. If you're looking at the Niners at the end of that Super Bowl to where they are today, are they a better team after free agency and the draft?
I think if Dre comes back healthy, I think they're a better team.
Okay.
I think they have better depth right now, mm-hmm. and I think they have more speed on the team.
Yep.
And so that's always going to transfer over the course of a season.
Yeah, speed kills.
And I think they rebuilt their defensive line mm-hmm. in free agency. So I didn't think they had good depth on that position last year. They should be better this year.
And then in terms of working the draft board, the players they selected, maybe the needs that they had, how did you grade out the 49ers draft? Approximate, like, you know, letter grade if you had to.
If Pearsall hits, like I said, like I don't know what's going to happen to these receivers. We hear all the rumors
right.
over the last few weeks about are they here or not. I mean, John Lynch is tired of answering it, but only they know. I mean, if they hit on Ricky Pearsall, like, I think Renardo Green could step in and play. I know he could compete.
Wait, is he inside or outside?
He was playing outside, right?
He played outside.
Yep.
Played outside. So I think if they hit I think if Green gets on the field, I think this is a good draft.
Okay.
Like, I think Dominic Pooney can, I don't know if he's going to start. I know he's going to push somebody.
Right.
Whether it's Colston or whether it's a right guard position in San Francisco. Like, I could see him stepping in and playing right guard for this team and upgrading that position.
I love bringing all these players in. Compete. You want to be on the 49ers? You want to compete for Super Bowls? Go compete in training camp. May the best man win. I'm excited for training camp with all the depth that they've added here. But let's take the lines here. Ask Baldy anything. 888-957-9570. Start off with our boy Oreo Cookie in Oakland. Oreo Cookie, man. Ask Baldy anything here on the roast.
Hey, what's up, Baldy, man? It's an honor to speak to you. Everybody appreciates your breakdowns, man. You're usually on top of it. I hope that this first round pick, Pearson, man, I hope that he pops. Hope he's a fly for a white guy. but given the history of the 49ers, we did not take any defensive linemen this time around. What gives?
Well, I think they fortified that position in free agency. And so, you know, they got four defensive linemen that have come in right now, you know. And so I think that's where they hit the draft. You know, I think the defensive linemen went early in this draft. They went in the first and second rounds, guys that could step in and play. And they went, you know, receiver because I think they're concerned about paying everybody what they have been paying them and what they might have to. And so I think they addressed the defensive line in free agency. And I think that's, you know, kind of where they're at right now.
Let's go to Willem Marin. Willem Marin, ask Baldy anything here on the roast. What up, Will?
Hey, what's up? Hey, Baldy, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for giving me the time. My first question was plus-worthy. I don't feel like getting plussed on a Monday, so I got a simple question. Who do you see as the biggest underperformer in this draft, and who do you see as the biggest steal so far in the draft? Thank you, sir.
Like the first question, I understand the question. I don't want to dodge it, but I you know, these kids just got drafted. Like they deserve like every opportunity to go out there and compete. Like I don't know if Drake May is going to win the job in New England. They're not a very good team. He's probably in a position where you almost hope he doesn't start right away, even though he's the third pick. Now, he might, you know, he might win the job outright, but I mean, it's not a very good team around him. They got two rookie receivers that might end up starting for him. So, you know, I don't want to throw cold water on anybody out there. I mean, just I just think, you know, like if you look at this kid, Braden Fisk, you know, he goes to Florida State for 1 year,
man.
And he dominates. You know, they're undefeated. If the quarterback, Jordan Travis, doesn't get hurt, who knows? Maybe Florida State wins that game.
Baldy, I was just saying that. I'm a big Florida State fan.
We had this conversation three times this morning.
Yeah, this morning. I was pissed because I went down to the Rose Bowl, saw Michigan and Bama, and I thought, boy, Jordan Travis is healthy. He could beat this Michigan team with all that talent they have. But continue, Baldy, because Fisk is a player. No, but I mean,
like, if you look at Braden Fisk, and you're like, you know, he gets, you know, he plays up, goes to Florida State. He's a dominant player. Goes to the Senior Bowl. Nobody could block him. And then you just watch his work ethic, the way plays. Now, look, nobody's going to compare anybody in any draft to Aaron Donald. But the guy plays the game with the ferocity that Aaron played. I don't think he's the pass rusher that Aaron was and always has been. But, you know, they're rebuilding their defensive front. I mean, Kobe Turner and Byron Young had 17 combined sacks last year as rookies, you know, and then they became starters. And now you look at Verse and Fisk, like this is going to be a talented defensive front in Los Angeles. So if you said, okay, what's the guy? I'm excited to watch Braden Fisk play in the NFL.
Wow, we got to deal with that in the NFC West, Jasky. These two defensive linemen from Florida State going to the LA Rams alongside Blake Kerb. This NFC West got a lot tougher over the weekend.
Give me the guy that you think is the perfect fit. It could be anywhere. It could be Caleb, number one overall. Who is the perfect fit for the coach? Like, just any combination in this draft, because fit is so important. Like, I don't know if Deebo Samuel becomes Deebo Samuel if he doesn't play for Kyle Shanahan, right? And Montana doesn't become Montana if he doesn't play for Walsh. Like, we can have those conversations all day. But just on paper, a guy that you wanted to see go to the right spot, and you're like, wow, love that guy to go to that place to play for that coach.
I mean, Xavier Worthy going to Kansas City. Like, come on. You got Mahomes. You got Andy Reid. You got a play caller. You got a quarterback. You have success. Like, that fit. Like, this is a really good player. And maybe a dynamic player that changes the game with his speed. We know you can't outrun the arm of Mahomes. So, I remember one time. In fact, it was the Eagles playing San Francisco. I'll never forget this. So Andy Reid has always been very tight with the media. Only lets out a little thing here, little jab here and there. If you're listening closely, you can really catch something. But I remember I was announcing a game for Fox, and I'm on the field before the game, and I'm talking to Andy, and he's got Deshaun Jackson, right?
Oh, yeah.
Deshaun Jackson, early Deshaun Jackson.
Yep, rookie, yeah.
This was a Sunday night game, and this is the game
This is before Sunday afternoon.
It was Sunday afternoon, Bonte.
Yep,
He goes, if they line up in this front, Baldy, we're going to Deshaun first play. I go, really? I don't want to hear the national anthem. I don't want to hear the lineups. I don't hear anything. All I want to do is set up Deshaun Jackson. Like, I'm telling, I don't know if I was with Joe Buck or, you know, who I was with at the time. But I was like, look, just I'm setting this thing up. They're going down. And sure enough, first play, Deshaun Jackson in the end zone, right? So I go, I can see Andy like getting every defensive back on their heels to start some of these games with Xavier Worthy. Like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you just, like, take the shot? You know, just a flyer to Worthy. Just see if that corner's got his chin strap buckled, if he's got his mouthpiece in, if he's paying attention. Because if you blink, this kid's going to be by you.
Yeah, I'll never forget that game. Sunday afternoon, the Eagles came in and just dominated at Candlestick Park. I think they had like a goal. Maybe forced a fumble, brought it back 99 yards. I don't know. It was a crazy game, but Philly had their way in that one.
As if that was the 2010 one. It was the one where Alex Smith's rolling out left, goes to throw.
You're thinking of Sunday Night Football, the same day the Giants beat the Tigers that day. That was Mike Singletary. This one was Mike Nolan. I know exactly what Baldy's talking about. Sunday afternoon game, plenty of seats available at Candlestick Park. And Deshaun, who's playing our backyard at Calvert.
We're
thinking draft him. The Niners ended up drafting Kenton Bomber in that year.
And
because of Andy Reid. You knew going to Andy Reid. That's what we said about Xavier Worthy on Friday, Baldy. Boy, he knows what to do with the spread game and all these quick twitch wide receivers. Like, come on.
I remember, honestly, like going back to T.O., like I was doing the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, and McNabb is on the Eagles, and T.O. is, you know, in San Francisco, and, you know, he's a free agent or whatever. And that was when, like, Baltimore thought they were going to sign him, and the Eagles came in and swooped him up. And I remember McNabb and, like, and T.O. talking on the field. I'm like, you two would look good together in, you know, in Eagle green. You know, and there's Andy coaching the team. And next thing you know, T.O.'s in Philly. Like, that offense changed day one in 2004 with T.O. It was bombs away. And it was bombs away with DeSean Jackson. And you can see Andy right now tinkering. Like, right now, the draft isn't even, like, the names on the draft board haven't dried. And you can see Andy already tinkering. What are we going to do with Worthy?
By the way, in that game that you called, Baldy,
what
Mike Patterson. This
07?
Was, yeah, this was the 06, September 24th, 06.
You're unbelievable,
Bonte. Mike Patterson, 98-yard defensive fumble return in that football game to go up 31-3. Yeah, Westbrook
USC,
had a 71-yard run.
Mike Patterson.
Yep.
First-round pick from him.
I'll never forget that game because I was just thinking, boy, Philly is stacked, man. They just came in to handle business. We see no blowout the Niners a lot at Candlestick Park. Let's ask Baldy anything, 888-957-9570. Let's go to Robin in the city. Robin,
Hi, Robin.
What's up, Sugar? Ask Baldy anything.
Hey, Sugar. It's Baldy, my new show. So, listen, Baldy. This is Robin. I call everybody Sugar. It's just a habit. I'm sorry, Sugar.
That's all right.
But here,
that's all right, Robin.
Okay, so the DBs for the Niners in the past was slow as hell. So now they got some speed. But I'm still worried about the offensive line because, in my opinion, the last two Super Bowls that they played, it was really the right side. Was it McGlinchey? Now McKivitz, he all right. You know what I'm saying? But the Niners get their butt kicked in the trenches, and that's real. So what I want to ask you is, what do you think about the offensive line? Even though they've got graded high in the draft, I don't think they're going to win until they do something about that offensive line. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, I mean, they had the leading rusher. The quarterback finished the league, you know, the season with the number one rated quarterback. Like, they're playing pretty good football. Now, there was a couple mistakes there against Kansas City. Chris Jones is a wrecker. You know, maybe Dominic Pooney. Maybe you just need more Polynesian power, you know, in the middle of that offensive line right now. Like, he's going to go compete, and he's a powerful guy. So, I saw 16 Polynesians get drafted in this draft. Like, they're 0.3% of the population. They had 16 players drafted. Like, these guys are built to play this game. It's important to them. I do this this football camp with Jesse Sapalo once in a while out in Las Vegas.
Yep.
These Polynesians come, like, you would swear they're in full pads the way that they go compete in the trenches, offense, defensive line. They go at it. Like, it's full speed. Like, they want to play. And you ought to see the wave of kids that are coming in the future drafts. You better start, you know, stacking up on these guys because they play the game. They're just more powerful, balanced. The game's important to them. You know, they got their head screwed on straight overall. Like, I think this Pony's going to be a player for them.
Baldy, I'm actually surprised at that number. I'm surprised it isn't higher because I remember growing up playing Pop Warner football or even high school. We played South City High School. They had nothing but Samoans and Polynesian kids. And we knew watching the field, like, damn, they got those big Samoans, man. It's going to be a long day, man.
They grow
it's
up playing rugby.
They grow up playing rugby. And it's like they're all big. Yeah. They're all linebackers. They're all fullbacks. And it's like, dude, we got to tackle these guys today. It's going to be a long day.
I remember they had this one, I forget his name now, it eludes me, but he was a starting nose tackle for the Miami Dolphins, and he was Samoan, and he told me that he played NFL football to get in shape for rugby.
Well, Baldy, that's why.
When he went back to the homeland, he went back to the islands, and they're playing rugby. Like, he was trying to win. You know, he was trying to, like, dominate at that game.
Oh,
that's why I like Maris for the Cowboys. I wanted the Niners to take him. I think he's a player. I think he's a player. I'm a Notre Dame guy, so, like, I get it. We always elevate our own. But, like, I think the dude's a playmaker, and I actually like the Dallas Cowboys draft.
I do too. Well, I mean, I liked it. Look, I think Tyler Guyton, you watch him against Jared Verse in a bowl game 2 years ago, he dominated.
Oh, yeah, I watched your film, Baldy. He shut him down.
Yeah, he shut him down. And then, you know, Cooper Beebe was my number one guard in this whole draft. Like, I watched him against Byron Murphy of Texas, and all he did was just dance with them the whole game. Murphy couldn't beat him once. Now, I don't know if he could play center. It looks like they got a big hole at center. So maybe that – I don't know what their plans are. But my guess is they're going to move him and play him at center. That's my guess. And maybe they get two starters. You know, they just signed Zeke, so maybe the running back situation is okay. I kind of thought like they missed out on drafting a running back or a wide receiver, but I think they addressed the biggest need on the offensive line.
Yeah, I thought Trey Benson was headed to Dallas. Let's take Matt Narenda. Ask Baldy
what's
anything.
Up, Matt?
Matt Narenda, what's happening, Matt?
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, Baldy, this one hopefully isn't coming a little bit out of left field, but mostly it's just an amazing story for the people that know it in the Bay Area. I think there was a long article on it in the Players Tribune. But Ray Davis, it's a pretty circuitous route. He ends up at Temple and Vandy.
Kentucky.
And then ends up at Kentucky. And just a really amazing, amazing story for the Bay Area. And, you know, I tend to like those running backs that can make the over-the-shoulder catch out of the backfield with low center of gravity. They can also pick up the block. He's got a chance to step in Buffalo. What do you think?
Well, I mean, this is James Cook is a starter there. And they signed Frank Gore Jr.
Yep.
Frank Gore hit me up over there last week, and he's like, dude, like you do videos on everybody. I haven't done one on my son. What's going on?
So
I went back and looked back to Southern Miss, and I watched him, and he reminded me of Devin Singletary, who started his career in Buffalo when Frank was up there, and he went up signing with Buffalo. So, look, but, you know, they need a backup right now to Ray, to James Cook. And so Frank Gore ain't going away quietly. Like, this kid is quicker than fast, but he's talented. But Ray Davis, like, had an amazing year at Kentucky. Like, you could look at some, I don't know, one of these games. I think it was Florida. He had, like, 230 yards.
Yeah, four
one of those games, Fonte, maybe.
Yep.
Like, he ripped it up. He wasn't bad against Georgia. Had a big run against Georgia. So, like, I think James is, they want to run the ball. That's kind of what they want to do right there. The offense line got better last year. Cook was really good the second half of the season. I'm anxious to see who wins the backup running back job. But it is a great story. I kind of followed that story of Ray Davis, too, from where he came from and all the stuff that he went through to get where he is. He'll be hungry for sure.
And his father, Raymond Davis, he was a couple grades ahead of me, Baldy. Played at Galileo High School, our rival high school in Washington. Hey, Raymond Davis is a hell of a running back. We're going to get him on the show a little bit later after you, but he was a hell of, he had speed to burn. So you see where the talent comes from with Ray Davis, man. He has this, the same movement that his father had back at Galileo High School.
Baldy, before you go, for Spadoni and the Raider brethren, it feels like they're very split. Brock Bowers, obviously everyone loves the player, but they need a quarterback. What did you make of their draft as a whole, and what did you make of the Brock Bowers selection given what they've got going at under center?
Well, I was just talking to Maurice Jones-Drew, who's obviously a Bay Area kid, and he was coaching Brock Bowers when he was in eighth grade.
Wow.
Like, this kid was like setting the world on fire and 7-on-7, all this stuff, when he was a sophomore. And, you know, obviously he goes to Georgia. He's the number one tight end in this business. But, look, I think they thought they were going to get a quarterback. I think they were really interested in Penix, and I thought they thought he was going to be there. And that's why Denver took Bo Nix at 12.
Yeah.
Like, these quarterbacks weren't hanging around to the bottom of the first round or even to the 13th pick. So, you know, they're in a situation now where they just drafted a tight end, you know, Michael Mayer last year, and now they got Bowers. So they got to make this thing work. But you can't argue with Jackson Powers Johnson. He was probably the number one center in this draft.
Agreed.
Maybe Andre James. Maybe he plays guard because they need a right side to the offensive line. Maybe Glaze out of Maryland could play right tackle or compete for it. You know, the kid out of New Hampshire, I think he caught 117 passes. He's a third down back that maybe can help them, you know, in the passing game. But look, they're gonna battle it out with these two quarterbacks right now, and I think they still got to upgrade the position to really compete in that AFC West.
Man, AFC West is going to be dominant. Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. You got Peyton and the Broncos, the Raiders. This hour flew by, Baldy. When the hell are you coming back out to the Bay Area to hang out with us, man? When are we going to get some Baldy in the Bay?
Well, let's make that happen. Like at some point during OTAs or, you know, the end of sometime in June, let's take a look before we get to training camp and what the 49ers look like. If there's moves that are made, June 1st is always a big day in the NFL for June 1st cuts, and the roster will change a little bit. So I think we got to do it because, honestly, not to steal the thunder of Jim Harbaugh, but who has it better than us? Let's make it
seriously
happen.
Seriously, hey, nobody's got it better than us, man.
We might have a 95-7 The Game softball game.
Uh-oh.
I think we need to have you fly out, or we'll send you video and you do Baldy's breakdowns on some of the swings we've got going here. What do you think of that?
Well, I would like to do the breakdowns live, Joe. Like, I don't want to, like, get the video. I want to be there, like right behind the dugout, you know, making these breakdowns live.
I love it.
Well, they're going to have me be the umpire, and I'm going to be, see, right, you're out of there. So I need you breaking down my strike three calls here.
I want to see your ball strike call, all right?
Baldy, man, you're the best.
You're the best, buddy.
More poolside premonitions with Ryan Baldinger. We love all your videos that you're pumping out for the NFL draft. I know there's more to come. Thanks for always spending some time with us, man. Always great to catch up with you.
Yep, a lot of fun, guys. Yep, let's do it again soon.
See you soon. Baldy
breakdowns here on the Morning Roast for the last hour. 888-957-9570. We'll recap that. We'll continue to talk NFL draft. We're going to do a lot here on the Morning Roast. Just an hour and a half left of the show. More coming up. Brought to you by the Downtown Los Altos Bubbly Stroll. Experience the Downtown Los Altos Bubbly Stroll. All kinds of fun with sparkling beverages and live music Friday, May 10th at 6 p.m. I got to take baby Chez down there. Downtown Los Altos, it's beautiful.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sponsored by the Post and BK Collections. Info and tickets at downtownlosaltos.org.
Crack, crack, crack.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Oh, baby, thanks for all the calls. Asking Baldy anything, a lot to talk about with the NFL draft. He discussed the Rams, the Cardinals. NFC West loading up, man. Cardinals did have a good draft, I believe. Maserati Marv, Marvin Harrison, seeing him with his dad, Marvin Sr. And then, of course, the L.A. Rams. He brought up the two big dogs down on the defensive line, trying to replace Aaron Donald, Blake Corum. We already know Sean McVay's up to something. Seattle's up to something.
He's up to something.
I mean, when you look at the draft overall, when you look at all these teams, who's the team outside of the 49ers, Shasky, where you say, damn, they knocked it out the park?
Well, Arizona, but I thought they had the farthest to go in the division.
Yeah.
Right? The other team that I keep coming back to that I just, I think is a very high-level team is I look at Baltimore, and it just seems like every year they draft a nasty linebacker that I like. You know, they lose Queen. And
yep, to the Steelers.
He was an excellent player for them, and they just always seem to be in the mix. They're also a team that I think that, you know, they value players similar to the way the 49ers do. I also look at what the Chargers did, and I look at what, you know, Harbaugh has had success with. Big athletic lineman, Joe Staley, right? Like, I think of Joe Staley's best years coinciding with Harbaugh being here, and Alt reminds me a lot of Joe Staley. I think he's even bigger than Joe Staley. And then they get Ladd McConkley right after that. I think those are two good picks. Those are Harbaugh-style picks. And I just think that those fit. And they're going to run the ball down team's throat. And, I think that the Chargers did what they needed to do.
Brandon Rice got drafted to the Chargers. Son of Jerry Rice. He was not happy about slipping so far in the NFL draft. But... he goes to the Chargers with these linemen. They still have Quentin Johnson, the first-round pick from last year. Ladd McConkey going there out of Georgia. You get the running backs here. You got J.K. Dobbins as a backup to Gus Edwards. Justin Herbert, obviously, is their quarterback. Cornelius Johnson, a big wide receiver from Michigan. So he went line. He's beefing up the trenches.
The other team that I came away, in terms of like looking at the hierarchy of the NFC, I feel like the Eagles had two great picks back-to-back. We'll see what the rest of their draft.
I'm surprised you to say the Eagles first.
Well, because they are the team that I think is, you know, we're sleeping on them. I think they're coming this year. They got Barkley in the offseason.
No, nobody's sleeping on the Eagles. I mean,
I think everybody's consensus right. For Niner fans is like, oh, Detroit's going to really? Be better than the Rams.
I feel like when they got Saquon Barkley, I said, damn.
I haven't seen a lot of people bring up the Eagles. And I saw them get, you know, the DB from Iowa, and they got the number one overall cornerback. And so, at least on most people's draft boards. Yep. And that was the biggest area of concern. I also still think they need linebackers, but I think the Eagles got the best via free agency in the draft.
Well, think about what they did. So you get Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis back in the middle.
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox retires. They trade Hassan Reddick. So on the ends, I'm a little weary of them saying, okay, I don't know if they have premium edge rushers, but you may not need them if you got Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter pushing the pocket up the middle and you're making a quarterback roll out. That makes Bryce Huff's job easier, right? At defensive end for the Eagles. But then you got N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia. You get Devin White from Tampa Bay. I'm not that high on Devin White. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. But you forget, they still have Darius Slay. And they re-sign C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah.
Remember, he was there the Super Bowl year. They lose to Kansas City, goes to Detroit. Now he comes back to Philadelphia. Alongside Mitchell, the kid from Toledo, who's tough. And then Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, who we all liked. When they signed Saquon Barkley, I said, damn, Saquon's never. This is like football heaven for him, considering where he came from.
Absolutely.
He's going to have room to roam.
Well, I think about that mesh point gun run thing that Jalen likes to do. I think he's going to have a monster year.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm definitely not sleeping on Philly. I think Philly's in for a nice little resurgence.
I agree.
You think about what they did with the coordinators, Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. It's a lot better than what they had last season.
And then I look at Spencer Rattler going to New Orleans. That makes them just a little more intriguing because they're a very boring team to me.
Spencer's something else, isn't it?
But like Derek Carr's boring to me. Like it's just very boring. You know, they're not a team I fear. I think he could shake things up.
Might take that job.
What about the Bears? What do you guys think? Oh, well, the Bears.
I think they're in a hard division. That's a really tough division. You don't know? Green Bay's ascending.
No, it is. But I'm just saying, if there is a perfect situation for a rookie quarterback, like if Caleb has a CJ Stroud type of season, they could be players in the NFC.
Well, Detroit is a double-digit win team, right? I think most
maybe.
People,
maybe.
You think they're taking a step back?
Well, think about the Lions. Chicago should have won that game in Detroit. They were up 12 points with like 4 minutes left. They blew it. Then they come back around a couple weeks later, and they smoked Detroit. I mean, it wasn't even close to Soldier Field.
Okay.
I mean, they took it to Detroit. Took it to them. They go to Minnesota on Monday Night Football. They snuffed them out. They shut them down. They beat them up. The Packers, they play very, very tough at the end of the season, 17-9. They lose that game, obviously. Their defense started to step up. They won four of their last six games down the stretch with basically no offense. Basically no offense. They lost a tough game to Cleveland.
You're talking about the Bears.
I'm talking about the Bears.
Yeah, I still think Detroit is a really good team. But I'm
saying, I don't think the gap is as wide between Detroit and Chicago. Division games are always different. And Chicago's walking away from last season thinking, we should have swept Detroit. Detroit was not in the game at Soldier Field whatsoever. They got pummeled. And the game in Ford Field in Detroit a couple weeks prior to that, because I remember I had Detroit on some bets here, and I was like, oh, God, they're not looking good at all. They had to rally and come back from dear life to win that football game. Now, you can laugh all you want, Shasky, and then you get laughing. Cleveland. Then you get to Cleveland. Cleveland, we all admit, had a very good defense. Chicago controlled that football game. Quarterback didn't make plays.
I understand.
The quarterback didn't make plays.
In the NFL, jumping from, you know, five wins up to even nine wins is a big jump.
And it's common, though, in today's day and age. In this league, we see worst to first. We see worst to first.
In that division, I think, doing it in the AFC South for what, you know, the Houston Texans did is one thing. I think doing it in that division, you had two playoff teams that won games in the playoffs in that division. I just think it's a tougher division than we're giving credit to. I don't know with Minnesota, though. I don't know. Minnesota, like, we'll see. I don't believe in Sam Darnold at all. So I think, to me, Minnesota is the team that, like, they're going to take a step back. And they were better last year. You know, they fought down the stretch as well. That's a tough division.
It is a tough division, but I think you could make a jump. Houston just made a jump, right?
I know.
Jacksonville made a jump. We've seen Cincinnati making jumps. We've seen Baltimore making jumps. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Today's NFL. All year.
Now you get Roma Dunze, you get DJ Moore, you get Keenan Allen. Those are your three wide receivers.
On paper, they look a lot better.
Caleb Williams. And this defense with Chicago, I think they're going to come in second at least in the NFC North. I really do. Now, Green Bay scares me.
Wait, so you've got Chicago leapfrogging Detroit or Green Bay?
I think Detroit takes a step back. I think this is the season Jared Goff turns into a pumpkin and they start looking for a quarterback. Because now the pressure's on him. They got everything, and when it came down to it in an NFC Championship game, who made the plays? Brock or Jared? Jared didn't make the throws. He was short on some. He overthrew one to Gibbs right before halftime. Could have gave Detroit a 28-7 lead.
I'm not selling Detroit stock. I was really
impressed with
Hutchinson and Gibbs is going to take a step forward.
I'm not selling their stock.
I'm not ready to give Chicago. I'll believe it when I see it.
I mean, their DBs are really good. Jalen Johnson, they traded for Montez Sweat, so that's their second-round pick. Their defense is all over the place. I think Chicago takes a step. I think Chicago's going to be second place.
People crushing that Montez Sweat deal and just compared it to the Chase Young one. Montez Sweat, production-wise,
was
far better than Chase Young is.
Nope,
it was because you gave him the money, too, though. It wasn't just you gave him basically a high second-rounder, which was almost like a low first. It's also because you paid him a lot of money before he hit free agency, when you could have just signed the guy in free agency without surrendering the high pick. I mean, that was the algorithm.
No guarantee it goes there, though.
No doubt.
Free agency.
No doubt.
Dude, you just talk about a perfect landing spot for Caleb.
No, it's a great landing spot.
I mean, you get DeAndre Swift in the backfield. You still have Cole Komet at tight end. And you got Gerald Everett as your second tight end, who's a great receiving tight end. Not great, but a very good receiving tight end. Those are weapons galore for a rookie quarterback, man. Oh, my Lord.
Do you believe in the coach, Eberflus?
I like Eberflus. He's a defensive-minded coach. They whiffed on the quarterback before, and he was not there for that quarterback when he got drafted.
Well, there's one thing for sure. Someone's taking a step back if they're taking a step forward. And I don't see, like, Green Bay kind of came out of nowhere down the stretch. And to take the next leap forward is difficult. To win double digits year after year after year is hard.
I like Caleb in that division. No, I hear you. Packers are threats. Lions are threats. But I think the Bears, I would not sleep on them. When you have those three wide receivers, good luck defenses. Good luck Detroit defense. That's why Detroit was drafted all those quarters. They knew. Damn, we gotta cover Green Bay's wide receivers. We've got to cover Chicago's wide receivers.
Well, and one of their wide DBs is going to get, like, outed for being a cheap shot artist.
Yep, no doubt. And then you got Minnesota and Justin Jefferson. So you still got to cover him. That division's really good. I like that division on paper, NFC North. David Frisno, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Happy Monday.
start of the week. You know, thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
You know, these drafts, look, they're always a crapshoot, right? So it's hard to say, you know, feel a certain way about a draft or if they're right or wrong. But I just feel like the Niners, they make it harder than it needs to be. They're good at what they do, but sometimes they make it harder than it needs to be. I think at 31, we could have got much better value, you know, drafting the guy, receiver, who's probably fourth on the depth chart right now, currently speaking. I don't think that's the ideal way to go about it. I think Jackson Powers would have been a great, great pick right there. Kind of like where the Chiefs got Creed Humphrey. You know, a center slash guard is not a sexy position, but when you're picking in the 30s, that's sometimes where they just fall and you get an all-pro caliber player. And I think that would have been a great spot for that, you know. And it's like we always have to, like, talk ourselves into these 49er picks. You know, when we got Pettis, oh, he's going to be a great kick returner. Or he's great in the open field. That's going to be great for Shanahan. And I feel the same way with this receiver. Like, nobody really saw us picking him, but now that we picked him, I feel like we're trying to talk ourselves into, oh, that's a great pick, as where, you know, a lot of these kind of mock drafts and these pundits had these players ranked much higher that we still could have got. Cooper DeJean would have been a great pick. I mean, a lot of people have him as a first-round talent, but, you know, we kind of go against the grain. We don't do what others think we're going to do, so, hey, They all might be fine players. The corner from Florida State, he might be a great. I have no idea. Right. I don't know much about him. You know, they hyping him up because we picked him. But I just think the Niners, they you know, we could have had CeeDee, but we took IU. You know, CeeDee was the more decorated player, but we took IU. They always go against the grain. So, you know, I don't know. Again, drafting receiver, he looks nice, but right now he's fourth on the depth chart. Like, we're really going to keep it real. And he still got Wade in line behind CMC and Kittle as far as targets. So I just don't think he can help us this year, you know. And I think the plan is to try to win it this year. I think there's better value at 31, and also in the second round we could have moved up because we had three third round picks.
Oh,
we could have got him and moved up to.
Well, we don't know what other teams were thinking. What we think it's that easy. Hey, they could have just moved up and got this player and got that player and traded picks. We don't know what other teams were asking for. We don't know what other teams were valuing. We're not inside the war rooms. We're just speculating. We think they could move up, but we have no idea. Here's what Baldy, real quick, Shasky, said about Pearsall. He loves to pick.
I think you'll see it within over the course of the year, and then by next year, you know, one guy is going to be here and one guy isn't going to be here. Right now, it should be highly competitive practices right now. Because I think you're going to see the talent of Pearsall. I think everybody's going to see it. And so this question of how they move them around, can they find a space for all of them? It's just not going to be tolerant that guys are going to be crying for the ball. They're not getting touches. I mean, it's just the ball's going to get spread around. And it's going to go through McCaffrey. That's not going to change. So I'm anxious to see what that roster looks like Labor Day weekend. And if everybody that's been here is going to still be here.
So he thinks it's going to be a good fit.
Well, but I think the part for me wasn't necessarily about Pearsall, but more about he's basically saying, are we sure a trade isn't going to happen between now and week one? Which I found surprising because I don't see the Niners making a move.
I don't see it.
You know, where you wouldn't be able to help your team out with that draft capital until after the season. I don't know, because that my question was about, like, you know, the dynamics in the locker room and just this being a run first team. Is everybody going to be satisfied given what the, you know, the business aspect of playing?
Well, Shanahan said over the weekend that by day two or day three, they were done fielding offers for Ayuk and Deebo. They heard nothing they didn't want. They were like, we're keeping Deebo, Ayuk.
What did you make of them being so open with the trade discussions?
That's what they do. This is, and I love the transparency. I love it.
You think the players do?
Hey, it's a business. They understand it. Hey, we just lost the Super Bowl. Deebo, you couldn't beat man coverage. We gave you 13 targets. You came up with three catches. Now, however, you could say the offensive line didn't block or Purdy didn't make the right throw or whatnot. You know what? The hell with that. You got to beat man. McDuffie owned him in that Super Bowl. Let's just face it. And I love Deebo.
Yeah.
He owned him. But, so you know what?
Kansas City also owned other teams.
Hey, fellas, we're paying you guys a lot of money. You didn't produce at the highest level. We're going to draft guys who can help us with speed or whatnot, but you're put on notice. If you don't perform, we have out clauses and we will move on. This is life in the NFL, buddy. Not for long.
I just don't. how do I put this? I don't think it's the greatest look that it was so public and out there. Well, and I don't know if they did that by design. I doubt they did. I'm sure that the, you know, things got out that they didn't want them to get out. But it just, if all things were being equal, I probably wouldn't have had that out there for public consumption as much as maybe, it felt like it was out there.
Maybe they're just playing people for fools. Maybe they're...
So Diana Russini of The Athletic spoke to Debo over the weekend, and this is what he had to say. Quote, I know what's going on, but it is what it is. I'm good staying with them. I'm chilling. That was Debo talking to the Niners.
I mean, who knows, what that, how he said that, you know what I mean?
He says it in a Debo, very monotone, doesn't say much away. That's
Debo. They know, hey, it was out there. It was out there. We're open for business. But that isn't that how businesses are successful? You don't not pick up the phone, right?
Yeah, but you don't tell your, I mean, I agree. You pick up the phone, but you don't tell people way below you, like, hey, we were thinking about chopping you, but, you know, we kept you around. No. Like, now that person's got it in their head. So I think it's a slippery slope.
For the right price, you would have been moved.
Well, everyone knows that.
That's what it was. Now we go back to the drawing board. We continue to negotiate with Brendan Ayuk and bring him back. At the end of the day, I'm just happy both of those guys are still here.
No, I would agree with that.
They're both still here. After all the rumors, and I don't know where the rumors came from. Now, I know they were open saying, hey, we're listening to the phone calls. I'm not mad at that. I'm actually not mad at that. As fans, we always complain when they don't say anything and we want to know. Like, when they keep things close to the vest.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes as fans, we're like, well, just tell us. We want to know this. And we pay a lot of money for this. We want to know this. Well, then when they let us know about potential trade rumors, we sit back and we say, well, we don't really like that.
Well, no, letting the fans know about trade is fine. I'm talking about the human element of going back into that locker room. Like, you're my guy. Even though we tried to trade you, we didn't get exactly what we were looking for, but you're my guy.
No, that's why
I think it's difficult.
When you have constant communication, it's okay. Lynch has said he's had constant communication with Brendan Ayuk. They've had constant communication with Debo. I'm cool with that. As long as they're communicating with the players. And Debo said it to Diana Russini, I'm aware what's going on. I'm in the loop.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I'm chilling.
Yeah, see, like, I get the conversation. In a perfect world, which doesn't exist, but in a perfect world, I would probably try to be a little more tight-lipped on how much we're shopping players out there, because it probably causes more harm if you're not going to execute a trade than good.
Well, I think the media kind of overblew it, too.
Well, that's an element of it.
When you get people writing columns and start talking and start speculating,
fans love trades.
And then you're dead wrong when you pivot and you say, hey, well, they're actually going to trade this player. And then none of the players get traded. Now you look like a fool.
Well, actually, it's forget what you look like. I found it quite interesting that both Ayuk and Debo, outside of San Francisco, aren't viewed the way Niner fans view them. Because I know you were saying, I don't think we respect. No, I think we do. And I think other people don't view Debo Samuel the way we do because I think this goes back to Shanahan. Shanahan's so good at what he does. Debo really only works in a couple of places. Well, this is one of them.
But I also think, too, though, you're so close to the NFL draft and teams have their draft board set up and they know the money element and they're like, damn, the 49ers just went to the Super Bowl. Why are they trying to trade Debo? Why are they trying to trade Brendan Ayuk? And they're probably thinking, no, we're not going to give these guys compensation because they know what to do with that compensation. We're not going to do that and bite the bullet for some money. Yeah. This is a receiver-rich class for the teams that need it, wide receivers. Like Jacksonville, for example. Jacksonville, we could control Brian Thomas Jr. on a rookie contract, bring him down here to Jacksonville. We already know Christian Kirk is our number one receiver. We still have Evan Ingram. We're good here.
Yeah, but see, that you're making my point from months back. There are like a handful of guys at the top who people will trade first-round picks for and extend. Tyreek Hill as an example. Davante Adams as an example. And they will pay them. You know, like, and I, not that I'm hesitant to pay Ayuk or anything. It's just like, that's interesting to know that other teams don't view him in that same upper echelon, you know, top of the market status. I find that interesting.
Well,
from a business standpoint.
No doubt. But like, number one picks are premium. They're the way guys are getting moved, and the Niners probably said too, we're not settling for a Stephon Diggs trade. We're not settling for any of these trades.
Diggs was traded originally first, and then Buffalo threw the money.
I'm talking about this past season where he got traded to Houston after another productive season in Buffalo. Let's go to James in San Mateo. James, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I'm definitely not a Detroit Lion fan. I'm a diehard Seahawks fan, and I consider myself like a football purist. I know it sounds crazy, but I would rather see my team lose than watch them win knowing they didn't deserve it. With all the talk about Jared Goff maybe taking a step back and all that kind of stuff, yeah, definitely he could. But then again, any quarterback could.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about him overthrowing Gibbs. But let's not forget the throw that he did make to an eligible lineman that the ref blew the call, which would have put the Lions at the number one seed, and the Niners turn around and squeak by Green Bay. So let's talk about all that stuff too, you know?
Okay, we can talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Where Dan Campbell refused to just take the extra point and went for it like four times in a row?
He's gone? He's gone? Oh, he's a Seahawk fan, though, so, you know.
I mean, the Seahawks are an interesting team as well. You know, I don't think they're going away.
Why are you shaking your head, Spadoni?
Geno Smith is the quarterback. No one takes him seriously.
Really?
Sam Howell, are you scared of him?
No, not Sam Howell. They draft
come
well.
Come on, let's keep it a buck. It's Geno Smith.
They draft well.
That's why Jared Goff and the Lions aren't going to do anything. That's why Geno Smith and the Seahawks aren't. You need a quarterback. Like, the quarterbacks are down in the NFC still. Like, if Caleb becomes a guy, then maybe. Like, that's why I think there is a thing to be said. If the Bears are good this year and Caleb looks good, then that's another quarterback in the NFC. Like, that you have to worry about. Jordan Love right now, Brock Purdy, Matt Stafford, I think, is still getting slept on. I know he's older. Like, those are the quarterbacks that you have to worry about in those teams.
Are we giving, I mean, I know he started all the games this year. Are we giving the benefit of the doubt to Jordan Love that we didn't give to Brock Purdy after a small sample size? Because of the first round pedigree?
I don't know. But he played well down the stretch.
He
played very well down the stretch. And he's got
played
his receivers were not healthy.
Adding Jacobs helps there too a lot.
Big time. Oh, I like Jacobs. But Aaron Jones was really good down the stretch.
Aaron Jones was really good too. And Josh Jacobs does get banged up. He does miss games. He does miss time. But Green Bay usually draft. I mean, they brought back A.J. Dillon. I don't know why. He did not look good last year whatsoever. No. I thought he was going to pop.
I thought he was going to be better just in general.
I thought he was
going to
be better. But they got all those wide receivers, all that speed. But I'm looking at Chicago, though. I can't help but look at Chicago. And what they did last year with the quarterback who, look, I remember Spadoni and I were talking after the Cleveland game. I remember that Cleveland. I watched the entire game, Cleveland, Chicago. And it says, Spadoni, I see why they're out on Justin Fields. His release is just too slow. He's late on passes. There's plays to be made. Their defense was suffocating Cleveland. Suffocating. And so now with Caleb and now with Roma Dune, they had reworked their entire receiver room. They're going to be a problem. And ask Detroit. Hey, the last caller here. Go look at those Detroit games against Chicago. Chicago should have swept their ass. Should have broomed them like Suns got broomed last night. All right? Let's go to Anthony and Sack. Anthony, what's happening?
Monte Shasky, what's going on, boys?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, I love how that caller, that Seahawks fan, said, let's talk about it, makes his comment, and then hangs up the moment you guys try to push back a little bit. That's comedy. real quick, though, I wanted to say two things. Real quick, last week I remember calling in talking about Ben Sinnott. Adam Peters, man, ex-Niner, he comes to the Commanders. He liked what I saw in that. I like their draft, man. I really do. I'm excited to see what he can do, and I'm rooting for Adam Peters. I really am. You know, it's good to see him, you know, thriving and getting the credit he deserves. And I will say this, though, too, about the Niners. Bonte, I love what you said about the transparency. Me as a fan, I love that. You know, there's a thin line between, hey, we want to be honest with our players, but we also want to be better. We've been beat by the nemesis Kansas City Chiefs, and we saw in press coverage we couldn't get open, right? So this Ricky Pearsall, if he could come in and just do a little things, the little things that we weren't able to do, then, like, I'm all for it, man. Like, Purdy's only going to get better. He's not going to turn into a pumpkin like Jared Goff did. You know, he has that X factor in him. And I really want to see what a full offseason and OTAs and training camp would be with Brock Purdy and these new weapons, man.
I'm with you. Great call, Anthony. Great call.
Nobody believes in Goff, huh?
I like Goff a lot.
It's not that I don't believe in him, but you know with Purdy, man, when the play breaks down, he's able to elude pressure and he keeps his eyes downfield. He's able to extend play is something that Goff can't do. And he's not going to be a Jimmy Ono thrower, right? Yeah. He's going to put the ball in play, and every time he throws it, you guys are both going to agree, every time he throws the ball, we don't go, oh, crap, anymore. We go, oh, nice, right? So
you know.
Nah, I'm with you, Anthony. I'm with you, man. I really think Detroit's really good. Trust me, they're going to be around. They're going to be a problem. But I think we're underrating that division. Green Bay.
I started the segment by saying I think it's one of the best, most improved divisions in the league.
Green Bay going into Thanksgiving and just smoking Detroit. The game wasn't close. Detroit was reeling a bit down the stretch. They were. Their defense wasn't as great, and they lost C.J. Gardner-Johnson. How did they replace him? Now, I know he was hurt for most of the season. I don't know. I just maybe I'm giving too much love to Chicago.
Well, Minnesota, I think, looks like they're going to take a step back. But, no, I'm looking at the NFC as a whole. Like, Tampa Bay stabilized. They had another decent draft. I think Jason Light or whatever his name is, the GM there, he drafts very well. And keeping Baker, you know, they beat the Eagles last year pretty thoroughly and went into Detroit and played a tight game.
Well, look at their draft here. I do like their draft.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Graham Jason Barton, Light hits.
Graham Barton is center.
Yeah.
So you solidify the offensive line out of Duke.
Best interior lineman available.
You get Chris Braswell out of Alabama, edge rusher. All right. Adds to that defensive line. You get Tyke Smith, safety out of Georgia. We love Tyke Smith. He's a baller. Kirby Smart coached him up very, very well. He'll add to that secondary. Did you get Jalen McMillan out of Washington? A burner. An absolute burner.
Yeah, and if you're looking like pairing, you know, Mike Evans and Godwin with him, that's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice for Jalen McMillan. Yeah, nice landing spot.
It fits what Baker wants to do.
And then Bucky Irvin at running back at Oregon.
See?
Runs tough. Breaks a lot of tackles.
So I'm looking at them. Like, they were a playoff team last year. I think they'll be a playoff team again this year.
They win that division.
I mean,
Atlanta.
I gotta see it before I can believe New Orleans. Atlanta. I don't believe in New Orleans at all.
Carolina.
I mean, come on. I mean, come on. Carolina had no picks. I mean, poor quarterbacks. Bryce has no picks. No chance.
No picks.
You woke up a Carolina Panther this morning. Did you have to pinch yourself a little bit?
Oh no, man. I woke up really, man. I got a call right after I got jetted. He was coming to pick me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told him I'm going to be ready.
I saw the emotion in your face in the video, but what were those emotions?
Overly excited, man, whole time, and I really trying to hold my tears in for real, man. I told my folks I wasn't going to crack. I'll try to be tough guy. But, man, hey, I was really overexcited.
Xavier LeCat, come on.
I mean,
Xavier LeCat.
Have you been paying attention to what happened with David Tepper, the owner of Carolina, over the weekend?
A little bit.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
I try to stay away from David Tepper.
Did he throw water on another fan like he did last year?
No, but basically, there was a sign in a bar that said, please let the coach and GM pick this year. Yeah.
And he walked into there.
Tepper went in there and was arguing with him and is on video footage. This guy just doesn't get it.
Yeah, he's out of control.
Like, I don't care how much money you made on Wall Street, buddy. Like, this is the NFL. Like, if I'm one of the other owners, I know he's mega rich and he's made a lot of money. This is a bad look for everybody. I
mean, they put up with Dan Snyder for 20 years.
Well, it's a bad look for David Tepper.
No, it's a bad look for the NFL ownership group because they're all...
Dude, stay away, dude. Robert Kraft ain't thinking about David Tepper. Chad York is like, yo, this guy, check this guy.
It makes them all look bad.
Nah, I disagree with that. But it makes him look bad.
As low as it ever got with whatever owner here in the Bay, you don't see this. This is bad.
Yeah, he makes himself look bad.
Well, I don't consider, by the way, the Oakland A's owner. So, like, just throw him off to the side. But, like, this guy's a moron.
Not a smart owner.
Well, I feel bad for Bryce Young. He's got no shot with that owner.
Yeah. 650 mobile text line. It's funny how Adam Peters gets the credit for all the Niners' great picks and Litch gets blamed for all the bad picks. Truth is, we don't know who picked who, which is very true, 650. Now, if this was all Lynch, we all like the draft. There was no Adam Peters in there. There was no Rand Carthon in there.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.